Do you ever sit down to play your guitar and not end up playing anything because you get distracted by social media or YouTube? Do you ever sit down to practice and end up playing the same five things you've played for the last 20 or so years? If you've answered yes to either of these questions, or you just feel like you want more out of your guitar practice sessions, today's show is for you, because I'm going to be sharing with you some tips and tricks to get the most out of your practice sessions, even if you only have a sliver of time. Hey TAC family, welcome to episode 180 of the Acoustic Tuesday Show. This show is all about bringing fun, focus, and progress to your guitar journey through my weekly Guitar Geek list, plus success stories from your fellow TAC members. Since today's show is all about practice and progress, have you ever felt like you're just stuck in a rut and not making as much progress as you hoped you would? Well, today you're going to meet Dana, a TAC member who's going to share a small win with you that will help you identify the progress that you are truly making. You're going to meet Dana here in just a moment, plus you're going to get your weekly dose of acoustic news you can use, which includes some happenings from Charlie Parr, a chance to ask an acoustic hero a question, and much, much more. But first, let's go ahead and dive into practice preparation so that you can make the most of the time that you have. You might be thinking to yourself, Tone, why do I have to prepare to practice my guitar? Isn't it as easy as just sitting down and starting in? Not necessarily so. A lot of times I hear that guitar geeks feel like they're stuck in a rut or that their progress is flatlining. And that's because you're probably falling victim to some of the common mistakes that come with practicing your guitar. Well, today that ends because I'm going to share with you six tips that if you include them in your practice sessions, you will no doubt feel progress every single time you get a chance to sit down with your guitar. So let's go ahead and dig in. Tip number one is to set an intention. I want you to know what you're going to practice before you even crack open that guitar case, before you even pick up the guitar and hold it in your lap. This is absolutely paramount to get the most out of your guitar playing session. Because all too often, this is what happens. You sit down, you hold your guitar, you get on the computer and start looking for something to practice. Pretty soon, a half hour passes by and you haven't chosen anything. This is exactly why going into your practice session, I want you to have an intention. Oftentimes, we don't get a lot of time to actually sit down with our guitar. So if you have 10 minutes, I don't want you to spend those 10 minutes deciding what to play. I want you to know what you're gonna play before you even pick up your guitar. Now, for me, setting an intention looks like this. I actually keep a notebook of things that I want to work on. If I find a really cool lick, I write it down. If I know that I want to work on a specific song or a chord progression within that song, I write it down. This way, I don't even have to guess at an intention. I can go to my notebook and say, oh yeah, I wanted to work on this. This is what I'm picking to work on today. Now, one other thing I want to mention here is that within all of music, everything falls into five distinct categories. I call them the five categories of guitar improvement. You have technique, licks, which is like basically bits of musical language, improvisation, rhythm guitar, and chord transitions. Every single song, everything you want to learn on guitar will fall into one of those five categories. So I like to categorize what I'm going to work on by using those labels so that I identify that whatever I'm sitting down to work on is actually going to make me better in one of those five key areas. So yes, set an intention before you practice. Tip number two is routine, routine, routine. I say it at the end of every single Acoustic Tuesday show. Your guitar success, your guitar progress, however you define it, is directly related to your guitar routine. And just so we're on the same page, let me read you the dictionary definition of routine. Here it is. Habitual or mechanical performance of an established procedure. Your established procedure is playing guitar, and I want you to do that at the same place and at the same time. This is absolutely of utmost importance because I don't want your guitar playing, your guitar practicing to be a conscious decision. I want you to not even have to think about it. I want the clock to strike 7:30, and I want you to find yourself in your guitar den, sitting down to practice the intention that you set prior to picking up your guitar. I essentially want guitar playing for you to be as unconscious as brushing your teeth. And let me go ahead and reduce this to the ridiculous. You don't walk around all day wondering when you're gonna brush your teeth. You simply find yourself in the bathroom or wherever you brush your teeth upon waking up in the morning and before going to bed at night. You just do it. It's unconscious. You don't think about that decision. That's exactly what I want guitar playing to be for you. So treat it as a routine and do it at the same time and at the same place. Tip number three, get outside your comfort zone. This is literally the thing that makes you better. This is literally the thing that keeps you out of a guitar rut, and this is literally the thing that helps you feel progress after every single practice session. If you don't know how to do something, good. If you're trying it for the first time and it sounds really crummy, good. Bottom line, your practice sessions should not sound good, because I want you to be doing something that you haven't done before. I want you to be pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. All too often I hear guitar geeks say, gosh, you know, I practice a whole bunch, but I'm just not getting any better. The follow-up question to that is, are you trying anything new? Because it's easy to sit down and practice and end up playing the same things over and over again. That will make you really good at those things, but it won't make you any better. So yes, please, 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 I urge you to get outside your comfort zone. That intention that you set, that we talked about in tip number one, should be something that you cannot do yet. It should be something that is a little bit of a struggle, because that is truly what makes you better. Tip number four, avoid distractive detours. This is much easier said than done, but it's very, very important, and I'll tell you why. When you sit down to practice your guitar, you might have tab or you might have a lesson on your computer, that's fine. But having the computer around you, having your phone around you, you're opening yourself up to distraction. So if you're on your computer, minimize all the extra windows and just have the lesson open. If you have your phone next to you, put it in airplane mode. Try and minimize those distractions. And here's why. And this goes back to the tip we just talked about. Pushing yourself outside your comfort zone, by definition, is uncomfortable. When our brain senses that something is uncomfortable, it seeks the easy way out. What's the easy way out? Distractions. They're literally surrounding us all day, every day. So the moment things start to feel a little frustrating, the moment things start to not go as easy as you hoped they would, you start diverting your attention. You're gonna maybe look at social media. You're gonna maybe find some random video. You're gonna maybe pick up your phone and see if there's any notifications. I want you to minimize this temptation for distraction as much as possible, because for an ideal practice session, you should be pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. And I want you to stay in that uncomfortable place for at least 10 minutes, because again, that's what will make you better. If you have distractions around you, no doubt, even if you have the best intentions, no doubt you will look for those distractions when things start to get tough, when the going gets tough, as they say. So yes, avoid distractive detours. Tip number five, document your practice sessions. And I really want to emphasize this and underscore its importance, because I want you to have a track record of your progress. All too often, we just look at the last time we played guitar, and however that went, we assign those feelings to our entire guitar journey thus far. So if it went well, we think, I'm flying high, this is amazing. If the last time you played guitar, it didn't go so well, automatically you assign those feelings to your entire guitar journey, and you kind of end up feeling like you're down in the dumps, or you feel like you're headed for a guitar rut. Oftentimes that's not the case. That's why documentation is so important. I want you to keep a practice log. Write down real quick, this doesn't have to be like a Dear Diary situation. This just has to be a simple quick note of what you worked on, and most importantly, what went well. I want you to identify at least one thing from your practice session that went well. It could be the fact that you sat down to play guitar. It could be the fact that your guitar sounded awesome. It could be that, wow, you got this lick that you were trying for the last couple weeks and it finally everything clicked in. Now, I want to take a little side note, because I want to encourage you to follow me on Instagram. I think it's really cool, but of course I'm biased, but I post my practice sessions on Instagram every single weekday, and I do this very thing. I document what I work on, and I document a small win from that practice session. And sometimes it is just me sitting down with a guitar. That feels like a win to me. Sometimes it's the fact that a technique that I've been working on for a while finally locked into place, and I feel like I quote unquote get it. So if you wanna see what a quote unquote practice log looks like, make sure to follow tac.guitar on Instagram, tac.guitar. You'll see an example, and you can use that. In fact, if you wanna post your practice sessions on Instagram, make sure to tag it with hashtag myguitarroutine. I think it'd be really cool to have kind of this practicing guitar geek community on Instagram, so we can kind of check in with each other and hold each other accountable. And ultimately, it's a way to develop a practice log that's really fun and interactive. The final tip number six, is celebrate. And I want to reference Acoustic Tuesday Show episode 176 for this, because in that episode I talk about habit. I referenced BJ Fogg, who's the author of the book Tiny Habits, and he identifies one of the crucial pieces of habit formation is feeling good. And what better way to feel good than to celebrate? So after you finish your guitar practice session for the day, celebrate. Pat yourself on the back. Look in the mirror. Give yourself a smile. Feel good about what you've just done. Because taking time out of your schedule to play guitar is awesome and, in my opinion, extremely celebration worthy. And I want you to take that one step further. Yes, I want you to celebrate the fact that you sat down to play your guitar, but again, this goes back to tip number 5. Identify one small win. Ask yourself the question, what went well today? And I want you to identify at least one thing, because I guarantee you, if you sat down with your guitar, something went well. Again, it could be the fact that you committed the time to do it and you actually did it. It could be the fact that your guitar sounds amazing. It could be the fact that you finally got that finger picking pattern that you hoped you would get and you've been working hard on it. Celebrate those small wins. And again, I'll reference the TAC.guitar Instagram, because each and every weekday I share a small win from my practice session. So it might help you get a model for what's quote unquote small win worthy. And I think the more that you look for those small wins, the easier it will be for you to identify them. And again, I cannot underscore it enough. It is so important for habit creation to feel good. And celebrating and identifying a small win is like the fast track to feeling good. Those are 6 things that I know for a fact, if you include them in your practice sessions, you will feel progress every single time you sit down to play your guitar. That being said, I have a question for you. What do your current practice sessions look like? What time of day do you practice? Where do you practice? Do you set an intention prior to practicing? Let me know in the comments below. And if you want to add which of these tips you plan on including in your future practice sessions, you can go ahead and let me know that as well. Speaking of small wins, now it's time to meet TAC family member Dana. Dana just posted a small win in the Tony's Acoustic Challenge community, and it is right in line with what we've been talking about so far. Here's what she had to say. Significant other shout out. Good morning, guitar geeks. I had to share this tidbit. My husband came in while I was practicing last night. As I was playing through some exercises and starting a new song, he commented, "You're getting better." I replied, "Well, I'm playing more." He said, "That's not it. You're sounding better. It's good to hear my work is, well, working." He played as a kid, so now if I can get him to join me, that would be wonderful. And I'm so excited that Dana shared this, because it is right in line with what we've been talking about so far. Oftentimes when we're in our guitar journey, we're so close to the day-to-day, it's hard to actually recognize progress. But if we have somebody on the periphery that's around us within our guitar journey, oftentimes they can recognize progress much easier than we can, which is so cool. And it feels so good when somebody else says, "Hey, you're sounding awesome." So I guess the hidden lesson here is practice around your significant other or your spouse or your roommates, because sometimes they'll see things that you kind of miss. Now, we're not done hearing from Dana, because she actually has a guitarsonal to share. Here's what she has in her guitarsonal. "Hi, TAC family. I'm finally getting a couple photos in of my guitarsonal. Since I just added a couple of instruments recently, I decided now was the time. Back row, left to right, an Ohana Mahogany tenor ukulele, a baritone ukulele, and a Yamaha Acoustasonic. These are my husband's, but they're gifts from me. Next, my first guitar, an inexpensive Fender that she played the heck out of as a teenager, and it has sentimental value, a Hamer Electric, rocking girly pink, a Fender banjo, and a Lag High Vibe with a spruce top and Paducah back and sides. This is a guitar of the future. Think Tonewood amp built in and an onboard looper. This was a NAMM 2020 demo that she snagged off of Reverb. The middle row, a Michael Kelly mandolin, a Lanikai concert ukulele sporting spalted mango, an Ohana 5-string mahogany ukulele that she plays with her church's praise team. And now on to the first row. A Voyage Air travel guitar with spruce top and rosewood back and sides, a custom Phoenix nylon string with Sinker redwood top and Palo Escrito back and sides, a custom bittersweet built by a local luthier, Ken Rumbaugh, with a cedar top and rosewood back and sides, a Neckville Zeus 5-string banjo, which was her latest purchase, an Ohana Mahogany 10-string ukulele, which was a fairly recent purchase, and lastly, a custom bittersweet 12-string with a Bearclaw Sitka spruce top and Koa back and sides. She says, I'm still thinking about a parlor guitar and a resonator, but I need my spouse to finish the bonus room, guitar room, so I have space. Huge thanks to Dana for sharing her guitar arsenal, and what a great array of instruments. I do have to say I have my eyes on that Neckville banjo. Ever since I first saw a Neckville banjo in person, this was back way back when I worked in Chicago at the Old Town School of Folk Music, I thought, one of these days, the Neckville banjo will be mine. It felt like the Wayne's World scene.
Stop torturing yourself, man. You'll never afford it. Live in the now.
It will be mine. Oh, yes. It will be mine.
I also have an additional guitar arsenal for us guitar geeks to lay our eyes upon. This one comes from Beverly Hills, California, and it was submitted by Don, also known as Ron One and Done. In fact, I've seen that screen name on nearly every Acoustic Tuesday episode, and I still think I'm mispronouncing the screen name. Maybe it's Ron One and Don, or maybe the one is like an I, like Ronan Don. I don't know, I'm gonna butcher it every time, but this is what Don has in his guitar arsenal. First, he says this, hey Tony, since I have two guitar arsenal shirts, I've got two photos. One at my girlfriend's and the other at my place. Love me some Acoustic Tuesday and have since the first episode. And prior to that, checking out your reviews on Music Villa's channel. On to the guitars. In the first photo and in my hands is my dream guitar, a 2020 Preston Thompson 00 14 fret with a Tunnel 13 redwood top and Brazilian rosewood back and sides. Wow, wow, wowie, wow, wow, wowie, wow, wow. Don didn't say that, but I had to add that because what a stunning guitar. Next, a 2011 Gibson Hummingbird, spruce top, mahogany back and sides, a 2015 Martin HD28V, and a 2005 Epiphone EJ160E John Lennon. He also says, shout out to Noah, I've got some Lagavulin 16 scotch on the side table. I'm a bourbon man as well, and not pictured as some Woodford Reserve above the fridge. And also, that's Ramona Beverly Blackbean licking her chops out front. What a wonderful name for a cat, Ramona Beverly Blackbean. On to the next picture of Don's guitar arsenal. He says in the second photo, here's a 2017 Ernie Ball BFR St. Vincent number 11 of 20, a 2006 Gibson Les Paul Standard, a 2017 Yamaha Gitalele, a 1985 Japanese Rosewood Fender Telecaster, a 2019 Gibson L00 Studio, spruce top, walnut back and sides, a 2015 Martin 0015M, a 2006 Fender Eric Johnson Stratocaster, and finally, on the couch, a 2005 Epiphone Casino. If you can't already tell, the Beatles were a huge influence and the reason I started my guitar journey. I'm thankful for each one, and I plan on being their custodian as long as I'm on this planet. Thanks for allowing me to share these beauties with you all. Cheers, and Guitar Geeks Unite. What an awesome guitar arsenal from Don. Some great instruments, and just a cool story behind kind of, I guess, each of them. And it's nice to hear that, you know, Don said, the Beatles are what got me into guitar. And I know for a fact that the Beatles got my dad into guitar as well, hence my dad getting me into guitar. So, in the comments below, let me know if the Beatles got you into guitar. I'm just curious if I can take a poll of how many guitar geeks that watch the show, the impetus for them to play guitar was indeed the Beatles. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, Dana had an awesome guitar arsenal, Don had an awesome guitar arsenal, I've got a guitar arsenal too, and I want to share that on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Well, I'm encouraging you to do so. All you have to do is follow three simple steps. Step number one, go to acoustictuesday.store and pick out your favorite guitar arsenal t-shirt. Step number two, once that shirt arrives, put it on and take a picture amongst all of your guitars. And step number three, please upload that picture at acousticlife.tv. Once you're there, click on the submit link in the top menu and you can upload your picture and tell your story just like Dana and Don did. Now it's time to turn back the sands of time and go back to episode 177 of the Acoustic Tuesday show and take a look at some of the comments that were left on that show. Let's go ahead and dive right in. The first comment comes from Dale W. and he says this, please post a video on your new mule. I don't have social media accounts, so YouTube is the only way I will get to see it. Well, Dale, you asked, and here's a video of me with my new mule Mavis, and holy smokes, strap your shoes on because your socks may very well just blow right off your feet. Thank you. Our next comment comes from Jim Ross, and he says this: I'm blown away I made it on Acoustic Tuesday. Thanks for the shout out. By the way, your impression of Mineral Bluff is a pretty accurate picture of the North Georgia mountains and the Osoe River. I'm going to go with that. We're not far from the Olympic Whitewater course from the 1996 Olympics. Should you ever find yourself in my neck of the woods, give me a shout. I would be thrilled to host you. Well, Jim, thank you so much for the comment, and thank you for the invite. What a delight to connect with other guitar geeks in that way, and I will certainly let you know if I'm ever down south. I've only been to Georgia once, and it was actually after I recorded in Nashville. I kind of kept driving and ended up in Georgia and then flew back from Georgia. Long story for another show. Our next comment comes from Sharon Tiano, and she says this: Piano is a non-guitar instrument that will really help you understand guitar, because the linear view will allow you to understand the notes and how they relate to each other. Also, a baritone uke is great because the uke strings are tuned D, G, B, E. For me, it's been wonderful because it helps me learn triads better as I try to make common open chords that I play on the guitar on the baritone uke. This is an awesome comment, and Sharon, thank you so much for leaving this, because in that episode 177, I had asked, hey, what are other non-guitar instruments that help you have a different perspective on the guitar? And I think piano is a great one for the exact reason that Sharon cited, because it allows you to see everything in, well, a linear way. So again, thanks so much, Sharon. Cheers to you and Dom. I hope you guys are doing well. Our next comment comes from Dan BGT, and he says this: Drums. I started playing drums when I was 12 years old, in 1962. I always wanted to play guitar, but just didn't have the time. After I retired at 68 years old, I needed something to keep me viable, so I started learning guitar. Got hooked on John Fahey and Jack Rose and started down the road. Now back to the drums. When I started learning guitar, I discovered that what a lot of people have trouble with and some never master is rhythm and timing. I had no trouble at all with that. Playing drums also teaches doing different things with each hand and each foot. This is such a fantastic comment, and I selected this because rhythm and timing is absolutely paramount, regardless of what instrument you play. However, drums is all about rhythm and timing. So what better instrument to learn that on than an instrument that is the whole foundation is rhythm and timing, and such an easy thing that you can carry on to guitar after that point, as Dan mentioned in his comment. And I've got one more comment. Actually, it's a series of comments, a conversation, if you will, that happened on that very Acoustic Tuesday show, and which is why I like the comments so much, because conversations like these happen, and I think they're so valuable to our guitar geek community. Here's the thread. I'll read it to you. First comment comes from Naomi Vernon, and she says this: I want to learn banjo, but I feel like I still have such a long way to go with learning guitar. I don't feel like I can justify getting a banjo, even though you can get a pretty good one for only $200. Now, I have to interject here, so this is the first comment in the thread, and it kind of led to some interesting responses. I want to interject this. Sometimes we feel like, oh, I'll be able to do that when I do this. In Naomi's case, I got to get better at guitar, and then I'll get the banjo. And I just want to interject and say this. Sometimes we need the detour, and sometimes that detour will actually make us better at both instruments. So I say, you know, don't wait to have fun. If pursuing the banjo seems fun right now, have that fun. And I think you'll be surprised at how closely related the banjo and the guitar actually are. Now, the conversation goes on to develop into this. The next comment comes from Babs Eaton, and they say this: Me too. And mandolin, but I think I will be murdered if I buy those too. And I don't think, quote, but Tony said, end quote, will cut it, especially as I want a 7-string guitar too. You know, you guitar geeks that watch the show, we've got a relationship going. If you want to throw me under the bus when you get a new instrument, I will take that fall for the guitar geek team. So if you come home with a new guitar and your significant other, your parents, your spouse says, I can't believe you did that. I'm there for you. Just say, but Tony said I should do this. If that works for you, use it. Please feel free to use it. It's it's my gift to you for being an awesome guitar geek. The conversation continues. Steven chimes in and he says this: I was a pretty so-so guitarist, but bought other instruments over the years anyway. I got a banjo, mandolin, and a dobro. They have all helped me learn transferable skills. It also helps when you feel like you hit a plateau on the guitar. Pick up the banjo for a week. When you go back to the guitar, you'll be recharged and realize you learned something new. Do your research and get a decent instrument. Now, I love this because it's kind of what I was saying at the beginning, and I also feel like in this case, I kind of resonate with what Steven said because I also play the banjo, the mandolin, and the dobro, and he's dead on. It helps you recharge and bring a new perspective back to the guitar. So what a great conversation, just an awesome example of really how valuable the comments on the show can be. So thanks to everybody who leaves comments. Thanks to everyone who engages in those discussions. So happy that we're able to interact on a weekly basis just like this. Cheers. I think I may have said cheers too early because we still have one more segment of the show. Yes, indeed, it is time for Acoustic News You Can Use, where I help you stay on the front lines of the acoustic guitar industry and all the happenings within it. Our first chunk of news comes from the folks at Gallagher Guitars, based out of Wartrace, Tennessee. Now, this is a company that, to be honest with you, I kind of forgot about. Now, I was first exposed to Gallagher Guitars because of Doc Watson. Doc Watson, I believe, played a G50. I'm not entirely sure of that model, but I know Doc Watson played a Gallagher guitar. Gallagher Guitars was started in 1965 by J.W. Gallagher, and then his son took over in 1976. His son Don took over, and then he ran the company up until 2015, which I believe then he retired. Well, in September 2019, the guitar company was purchased, and they've been making guitars since that time. And I'm kind of excited to see these revitalized Gallagher guitars. They're using a lot of the same fixtures, but they have a whole new crew in there. And I found this wonderful video that kind of picks up the story when the new ownership came in. You get to meet some of the people in the shop, and you get to see and hear some of the guitars. So let's just kick it over to that video real quick so you can kind of get a sneak peek into the new Gallagher shop.
But when you're building individual unique guitars, and a lot of them are custom, then you almost waste time. You know, you can't do the same thing over and over again. You know, when you take one guitar and you do a day's worth of work on it, I think you're being efficient. And then it hands off to the next guy, and then he does his day's worth of work on it. So in a sense, we're building in batches, but the mindset is more one-off.
This next musical happening comes from my dear friend Charlie Parr. In case you don't know, Charlie's releasing a new album this summer, and he just gave us a sneak peek on what will be on the cover of this album, and I absolutely love it. This artwork was done by Abe Partridge, and I have to say, I'm excited to see this on the cover of a vinyl record. I just am. I think it's an awesome piece of artwork. I think it's really interesting. It's one of those pieces of art where you just kind of keep looking at it and interpreting it different ways. I absolutely love it. It's super kind of folk artsy, and I don't know, I just think it matches Charlie's vibe. Now, I have another piece of news from Charlie as well. He's starting to hint at some merchandise designs, and this one comes from Otter Art. And it's kind of a, I have to say I love this because it reminds me of the old Rat Fink artwork. And now the design you're seeing is going to be gracing, I believe, t-shirts if I have my information correctly. But make sure to follow Charlie on Instagram and pay attention to his website because I think there's going to be some interesting things brewing up for this summer and maybe even this spring, especially if he's releasing some new merch. Now, I have another piece of news for you, and it comes from Sam Bush. Sam Bush, you might know him from Newgrass Revival. You might know him from the Sam Bush Band. But I follow him on Instagram, and I would recommend you do the same thing because he does this segment called Ask Sam, where he sits down with a smoking coat and a pipe, and he fields questions that were asked on Instagram. And most recently, he was asked how he got to be the owner of his infamous mandolin named Haas. And here's what he had to say.
And I saw them play in New York City around this time, and I walked in the club, and the sound system wasn't actually on yet, and I could hear that mandolin in the back of the room. And I pretty much dropped to my knees and asked Norman, if you ever sell it, please sell it to me.
And finally, there are two songs that you absolutely must check out. They've just been released, and the first one is a collision of two worlds, if you will. You've got Jackson Browne over here, and you've got Phoebe Bridgers over here. And I love both of them in and of their own right, but they combined to play Phoebe Bridgers' song, Kyoto. And I absolutely love this because it's an acoustic take on a song that has more of a full band, kind of a raucous feel on Phoebe's album. This is a very stripped down version, and it kind of, I don't know, it gets, to me, it seems a little bit more emotional. I really dig it, so please check that out. The second song that you have to check out is a cover of John Prine's Summer's End, and it's done by Phoebe Bridgers. Now, she stays pretty true to John Prine's version, but it's so cool to hear Phoebe play this song. Now, what kicks off the song is a voicemail from Phoebe's dad, and it kind of sets the tone. I don't know, it's a striking song, and it's something that I think you should really check out. So again, two new songs for you. The first is Kyoto by Phoebe Bridgers and Jackson Browne. What a great version. And the second is Phoebe Bridgers covering John Prine's Summer's End. You can find those on Spotify. They are ID'd on Spotify as Spotify Singles. Again, I'm not sure if it's Spotify Singles or Spotify Singles Session. Either way, if you go on Spotify, you'll be able to find it. And on that note, again, the pun works. I love that the pun works every single week. I think it's time to wrap up the Acoustic Tuesday show. I want to thank you so much for joining me today, but let's go ahead and take a sneak peek and see what I'll be chatting about next week on the show. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to be talking about once-in-a-lifetime guitar builders. Yes, I'm talking about small bench luthiers that don't make a lot of guitars every year, but if you get a chance to play one of these guitars, if you get a chance to own one of these guitars, wow, it's a pretty special, special moment. It's a pretty special thing. So I'll be identifying those builders, and we'll have a look and listen at the instruments that they create next week on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Remember, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. And again, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I want to thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, your guitar progress, your guitar success, however you define it, is directly related to your guitar routine. So spend the time investing in your guitar routine and make sure to have fun every single day that you play. Thank you for being a guitar geek. Guitar Geeks unite, and I'll see you next Tuesday on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Cheers.